So pay attention to what's being said here. So we're going to be looking into this in greater detail here in just a minute. We'd like to read these verses in a responsive manner. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Amen. Before we get into the message this morning, let's have a word of prayer that God would prepare our hearts and our ears to receive what He's got for us. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that once again you do all things well. Father, we pray that you would give us the faith to continue to trust in you even when we don't understand what you're doing or why you're allowing certain things to happen. Father, we pray as we begin a new year that this would be a time where once again we would have yet another chance to get things right, where we can learn to lean on you just a little bit more than we did the year before, where we can start putting some real Christian living into practice, where we can mature toward Christian maturity a little bit more. Father, just guide us and direct us. We ask you to have your perfect way with the going out of your word here this morning. Amen. Well, folks, as we've now began a new year, many of you have already made New Year's resolutions, and I bet some of you have already broke them, but we won't get into that. Now, why do we make these resolutions? Well, typically it's because we want things to be better with our life. We want to make some self-improvements. There's things about us that we would like to change for the better. Now, some of the resolutions that many of you have made this year, for some, it's going to be yet another valiant attempt to try to break some habit that you've struggled with year after year. For some others, it might mean a few more trips to the gym or a few less late-night snacks. But whatever resolution you've made this year, folks, I want to challenge you to add one more to the mix. Let 2014 be the year that all of us make a resolution to use the gift of speech that God has given us to encourage one another and to lift one another up. Let us resolve this year that we're not going to use the gift of speech that God gave us to criticize, to tear down, to insult, and to hurt. You know, a few years ago, we did an entire series on the book of James. And during that series, we learned James is a book about practical Christian living. And if I had to put the whole message of James into basically one point, it would be this. We are to prove our faith by putting some action behind what we claim to believe. See, it's one thing to say that you have faith, but James tells us that real saving faith will move you to take action. It will produce some results. He says that we're not to be hearers of the word only, but also doers of the word. He goes on to tell us that faith without works is dead. Here's what that means. Friends, if your faith is not producing some results, if it's not moving you to action, you might want to reexamine just what type of faith you think you have. See, it's not only God's desire that you come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, it's also his desire that you continue to progress forward as a believer in your Christian walk to become a mature and complete Christian. It should be the deepest desire of every one of us who claim Jesus as our Savior to be conformed to his likeness. That's what God's will is for our lives. Now, one of the ways that God helps to mold us into the people that he wants us to be, he allows trials to come into our lives. Some of us are going through a trial right now. Don't lose hope. James tells us that God sends these trials into our lives to produce patience and to produce perseverance. Because without patience and perseverance, there's no way you can grow to be a mature Christian. It can't happen. James tells us that. Now, as we all struggle to move toward Christian maturity, one of the most difficult areas for us to master is proving our faith by how we speak. See, our words, they're very powerful. We can use what we say to build people up or to tear them down. We can use our words to bless people or to curse them. But what we need to realize is that whatever is coming out of our mouth is truly a reflection of what lies deep in our hearts. Jesus says in Matthew 12:34 that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And with that in mind, that brings us to our message for today, which is entitled, "What You Talking About?" Now, if you're under 30, you're looking at that saying, "Who is that kid and what's that mean?" If you're over 30, you know what's up. And if you're not over 30, ask somebody that is, because I'm not explaining that to you. I heard this story about a man who went fishing one day. He was an older gentleman. He loved to fish. And as he was sitting out on the pier or the dock fishing, a couple hours had gone by, and this guy hadn't got one bite. I mean, nothing was happening. Well, just about the time these two high society type ladies came walking by, this old boy feels a bump on the line, and he set the hook, and man, he reeled that fish in. And as he's lifting it out of the water, one of those ladies kind of puts her nose up in the air, and she says, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself." That's so cruel, catching a poor, helpless fish like that on a sharp hook. And the man kind of grins at her, and he says, "Well, ma'am, maybe you're right, but if that fish had kept his mouth shut, he would have never got caught." Dr. J. Vernon McGee, a pastor that Pastor Leroy used to love to quote, and you know I do too, that old Texas preacher had a lot of good things to say. In his commentary, he says he believes that the tongue is the most dangerous weapon on earth. And he said that the church is hurt a lot more by termites on the inside than woodpeckers on the outside. See, as believers in Jesus Christ, we've got to be careful, folks, about what we say and how we say it. Why? The Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. That's kind of scary. Now, James tells us in the first verse of chapter 3, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now, those who have been called to teach the word of God, hey, I'm not just saying this because I'm standing up here. But anybody who's called to teach the word of God has a very, very serious responsibility. They're going to be judged according to how they do. And folks, it's a sad but true fact. There are many preachers and teachers who are out there today that twist the scriptures around for their own personal gain. They're fleecing the flock. They're leading the congregation astray. And they're going to be judged for it. Now, the people who are being led astray, they certainly bear part of the responsibility. Because if these folks were reading and studying the Word of God for themselves, they would certainly know false teaching when they hear it. But the person who's leading them astray is far more guilty and will be judged a lot more severely because he has a responsibility to care for the flock. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. Here's what that means. The more opportunity God gives you to serve him, to witness for him, to do things for the church or for your brothers and sisters in Christ, the more opportunity you have, the more severely you're going to be judged. The greater the responsibility, the greater the expectation. Now, it doesn't matter to me what type of gifts you think you do or don't have, because as Americans, we have more opportunity than anybody else on the face of the earth to be doing something for God, to be doing something to benefit our fellow man, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. So think about this. What are you doing with the opportunities God has given you? You better be thinking about that because you're going to have to answer for it. Now, James moves on in verse 2 to say, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now, I like the first part of this verse because I'm a simple guy. I need things explained to me in a way that I can understand it. James states the obvious in the first part of verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. Amen. We make mistakes, don't we? All of us fail. Now, although we have been saved from the penalty of sin and death by Jesus' death on the cross for us, we still have a sin nature, folks. And unfortunately, sometimes we allow it to win because we tend to be led by our flesh instead of being led by the Spirit. James goes on to say here that although we all stumble, if anybody is without fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now, the word perfect here, it doesn't mean sinlessly perfect like Jesus. The actual idea here is complete or mature. So what James is trying to tell us is, listen, a mature Christian can control what he or she says. And if they can control what they say, they can also control the rest of their body and the rest of their life. Having a tongue and the ability to speak, that allows us to communicate with one another in an intelligent manner. It's part of what separates us from the animals. See, we can put our thought into words. We can express ourselves. We can be understood. We communicate on the highest level. Now, not only is this true, but our speech also identifies us. It gives us away. It tells people who we are. Let me give you a illustration. My wife Sheila worked at the Creative Kids Daycare for about 14 years. Sometimes I would have to call her at work to either let her know, hey, I'm going to be late coming home, or because I was too dumb to find something I needed, whatever it was, I had to call her. Now, a lot of different girls worked there over the 14 years Sheila was there, and some of them I kind of knew, some of them I didn't know that well. So whenever they would answer the phone, Creative Kids, how may I help you? I would always tell them who I was and what I wanted. When they say Creative Kids, I say, hey, this is John Sander. May I please speak to Sheila? And then they'd go walk around with the cordless phone looking for her. And a lot of times, man, I used to like hear them laughing when they would hand her the phone and they say, Sheila, it's for you. It's John Sander. So I was like, what's so funny about that? Well, one day she came home and I said, hey, how come them girls up there all the time laughing when I call you? And she said, they're not laughing because you call. They're laughing because you say, this is John Sander. She goes, man, the minute they hear your voice, they know who you are. You don't have to tell them that. See, my speech gave me away, right? It identified me. And your speech identifies you too. The same thing happened to the Apostle Peter on the night that Jesus was arrested. Remember what happened? John tells us that he and Peter followed Jesus and the soldiers into the courtyard of the high priest. And even though Peter denied three times that he even knew who Jesus was, what all the people say? Hey, man, your speech gives you away. We can tell you're from Galilee, man, by the way you talk. And there's only one reason any guy from Galilee would be standing in this courtyard of the high priest this late at night when this Jesus guy got arrested. You're one of his followers. And no matter how much he denied it, they knew he was a follower of Jesus by the way he spoke. They identified him by that. See, our speech identifies us, ladies and gentlemen. It tells people whether we're educated or ignorant. It tells folks whether we're cultured or crude, whether we're a believer or a blasphemer. It tells folks whether or not we're a Christian. Now, if each of us had a tape-recorded message of everything we've said over the past 30 days, I bet there ain't one of us in here that would want a whole lot of other people to hear that. Now, in verses 3 and 4, James is going to give us a couple illustrations to show us, even though the tongue is a small part of the body, it has the power to direct the course of our entire lives. He says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Well, that's true enough. Then he says, or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Now, I know we got at least a couple people in the church that have horses, and if you ride them, you know this. That little bitty bit that goes in the horse's mouth, even if the horse is high-spirited, a person who knows horses can pretty much control the horse, make it go wherever he or she wants to take it. Same thing's true for a rudder on a ship. The rudder might be small compared to the rest of the ship, but even in a storm, that rudder takes the ship in the direction the captain wants to go. Now, James is about to tell us here, in the same way, our tongues can change the course of our lives. And I'm sure all of you here know there have been a lot of men ruined by what they say, and there have been a lot of ladies who have had their reputations destroyed because of the things that they've said. The tongue is more dangerous than a runaway horse or a ship lost at sea. Look at what James says in verses 5 and 6. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. Now, I find it kind of interesting that James compares the human tongue to a fire. It's hard to believe, but it's been 20 years ago that my brother and I, we rode our motorcycles out to Yellowstone National Park. And you know, when we got out there, we discovered that about a year or so earlier, they had a huge fire. And tens of thousands of acres were destroyed. The whole thing was pretty anticlimactic, man. I mean, you know, you go out there to see Old Faithful and all of the tar pits and all of that, but we rolled into the park, and almost everything we saw was just charred black remains of what had once been a beautiful, lush forest. I mean, that fire destroyed everything in its path. Now, fire can be a good thing if it's under control. You can cook your food on it, or as a lot of us have been rejoicing about over the past couple weeks when it's been so cold, you can also use it to heat your homes. But when fire gets out of control, it can be more devastating than that storm, or that fire, rather, that rolled through Yellowstone. Now, James says our tongues are the same way. He says if we control our tongues, if we say only things that are encouraging and to build people up, our tongues are a blessing. But when we let our tongues get out of control, they're like a runaway fire or a deadly poison. Now let's go back to the Apostle Peter for just a minute. We judge the man harshly because he denied three times that he knew the Lord. But don't forget this. It was a short time later, that same man used that same tongue to preach a sermon that was so powerful, 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost when they heard what he had to say. The human tongue can either be a curse or a cure, depending on how it's used. Proverbs 12:18 testifies to this. It says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." And then again, we read in Proverbs 15 and verse 4, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Our words have so much more power than we realize. In verses 7 and 8, James is going to use another illustration to describe the human tongue, and it's really not very flattering. He says, "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by men, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison." Now, years ago, there was a famous animal trainer with the Ringling Brothers Circus. This guy's name was Clyde Beatty, and he was well known for being able to train animals, especially the big cats. Now, one day in between shows, some people were touring the circus grounds, and they saw this guy. He had three or four little tiger and lion cubs out there on their backs, and he was kind of rubbing their bellies and wrestling around with them, and they were having a good time. And somebody asked him, hey, Clyde, why are you playing with them little baby lions and tigers? And he said, "I start training these animals right after they're first born. I would never, ever get into a cage with a lion that I hadn't trained since it was a baby." He said, "Now, when these animals grow up, they look big, man, and they look ferocious. And it's scary for people to watch, but I know them, and they know me. Therefore, I know I'm safe." Now, what James is telling us here is a man might be able to tame a lion, but no man can tame another man's tongue. See, it's only the tongue that resides in the redeemed body of a born-again believer. The tongue that God has given an ability to praise him and to lift brothers up that are going to be doing God's will and carrying out his work. Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Paul tells us in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. See, our tongues and our hearts, they work together. And for the Christian, our tongues and our hearts ought to be singing a heavenly duet together in perfect harmony. In verses 9 and 10, James says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. See, our tongues can be used to praise God or to curse our brothers, but James tells us here that's not the way a Christian is supposed to behave. And the Apostle John agrees with him. 1 John 4:20, John says, if a man says he loves God but yet hates his brother, he's a liar. That's pretty blunt. Basically, what we're being told here is, yeah, a guy can come into church on Sunday, he can sing like an angel, but if he talks like a demon the rest of the week, you label that guy any way you want. The Bible says that the man is a hypocrite and a liar. The Word of God doesn't pull any punches, folks. It doesn't sugarcoat anything. It tells it like it is. Now, as we've already seen, whatever comes out of your mouth is a direct reflection of what's deep in your heart. And that's a truth that a lot of us would rather not have to face up to. But James tells us out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing, but this should not be true of us. 11 and 12, he asks a couple questions. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Well, look, the answer to every one of them is obviously no. All right, I'm not a smart guy, but dang, I even know this. Then James goes on to say, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. In other words, a man can be two-faced, double-minded, and speak with a forked tongue. He can say things that are good and bad. He can bless and he can curse. But that's not the way things are in nature. You don't have a freshwater spring producing fresh water part of the time and salt water the rest of the time. Good water part of the time, bad, bitter water that's undrinkable part of the time. It doesn't happen. The same kind of tree doesn't produce figs and olives, right? It does one or the other, but not both. The same should be true of the way we speak. As I'm about to wrap it up today, all over the news, it's all over the media, you hear everybody screaming about freedom of speech nowadays. Everybody's infringing on somebody's freedom of speech. But usually, when somebody is arguing for free speech, it's because they have something hateful or vulgar that they want to say. It's very rare you see somebody arguing for free speech because they have something kind or beautiful or encouraging that they want to say. You know, a lot of folks in our society today use free speech as a pretense to spread the most godless anti-Christian ideas that they can even think of, and others use it as an excuse to put out the kind of satanic material that poisons the minds of our children. Honestly, sometimes I wish we had a little bit less freedom over what we say and a little bit more freedom over what we have to see or hear. Now, back in James 1:26, he says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Now, that should never be true of a Christian, because Christianity is far more than just another religion. Christianity is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you do have a personal relationship with him, ladies and gentlemen, there should be evidence of that in the way you live, and especially in the way you speak. So as we close the day, I'm asking each and every one of you, examine your hearts. Make sure you're speaking the truth in love. Make sure you're only saying those things to one another that encourage and build up. If this is a problem area in your life, I encourage you, take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to help you change the way you speak this year so you can continue to grow into the complete and mature Christian he wants you to be. Now, listen, I'm not naive. I know that for some of us, changing the way we speak is going to be difficult. Old habits die hard, man. But if we're trusting in God to help us, we can be sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And as we close, may the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God bless you, folks. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the truth that's contained in your word, even when that truth stings. Father, I do pray with my entire being that you would help us here at Woodburn Bible Church to be more encouraging, to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ, to not be critical or search to find fault with them. And not only here in our church family, but at home with our biological family as well. Lord, it's a sad truth that many times we speak more harshly to the ones we love most. We speak more harshly to them than we do to strangers we may run into at Walmart. Father, help us to see the error of our ways. Give us your grace and great abundance. And give us the strength that we need to change these things. Help us to be a light for you and a blessing to the folks that we know and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.